Appreciate the opportunity of being together this afternoon. Want the Lord to visit us. Wednesday night, Sister Vicki shared a verse with us that has caused my mind to start thinking over the remainder of the week, which has brought about what I want to share with you. The verse she shared with us was in 2 Peter, the first chapter and the fourth verse, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know, that part in itself, if we didn't go any farther than that, just to realize there has been given to us great and exceeding. What does it say? There's another verse that says exceedingly, abundantly, more than we could ask or think. Above what we could ask or think. This one, it's telling us there's exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What that started thinking in my mind this week, how much God is interested in and how much he has supplied for us to be able to have spiritual success. If I were to put a title on this, that's what it would be, is his desire for us to be successful. You know, if you went to the world and said, tell me what success is, a lot of times they would want to check bank account or what's your job opportunities for the future. God goes around all that and says you can be spiritually successful. And the verse that she gave us was, there's great and precious promises for us. I thought of a couple words, a vested interest. And looked at the definition, it's a personal stake or involvement in a situation, project or investment, where there is a potential for gain or for loss. I've got something in this and concerned about what the outcome would be. I've heard little sayings like this before. Maybe they say, I don't have a pony in this show. What are they talking about? What they're saying is, you know, this situation that's going on, I don't care one way or another about it. I don't have mental involvement in it. It's not bothering me. But you know what? That's not the way it is with God. I was thinking of this. He's got a huge investment that he made in mankind, and he's really interested in mankind in general, but us, each one particular, that we have spiritual success. And I'm thankful for that. We're able to see it just in the verse that is so common. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That you know, we can say that just so easy. But you know what that means? Is he gave his son for every person that has ever lived. That same opportunity for them. He didn't send his son into the world with the only purpose of condemning the world. He sent them that through him they might be saved. I am thankful that that's his desire for us to be spiritually successful. And it goes on down just after that. Says, there is, though, a condemnation. That condemnation is that men love darkness rather than light. That wasn't God condemning. It was the condemnation was that when he brought light, they were not willing to be able to accept that light. There's another verse in 2 Peter 3 and 9, we read about the end of time is coming, wanting to stir up our pure mind by way of remembrance. Yes. People that says, you know what, I've heard this all my life, that the end is coming and it hasn't happened yet. And then he tells us why. It's because he's got a vested interest. He has an interest that everyone would be saved. It's down in the 9th verse, 8th and 9th. Be not ignorant of this one thing. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He is not slack, in the 9th verse, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. You know, we've talked, there are great and exceeding promises. You know what? This is another one of those promises. One day, I'm going to call this world into a judgment. This says, he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But here's why it's going on. His desire for us to have spiritual success, he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that everybody, everyone would be able to come to repentance. And I'm thankful for that. There was a place over in Romans Romans in the 4th chapter. When it talked about Abraham, 4 and 20, Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And in that 21st verse, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now this is talking about he was promised a son. He was too old naturally to have a son, but God made him a promise. He didn't stagger at that promise. He was persuaded that if God made the promise, he was able to make it happen. Well, that was that situation, but you know these same verses can apply to us. There's been some promises made. And I don't want to stagger at the promises just because it's 2024. And the world is more wicked now, seems to me, than it was earlier years or whatever it may be. We don't stagger at the promises. God still says where sin abounds, got a promise for you. Grace will much more abound. And I'm very thankful for that. So Abraham realized that, you know what? God promised it. And I'm not going to stagger with unbelief about it. So through our life, if God makes me a promise that, you know what, I can make heaven my home, I don't want to stagger at that. I want to say, Lord, you walk with me, go with me all the way. So with spiritual success, verses started coming to me, and I'd like to share those with you. In Jude, there are some verses that tell us, you know what, we can make it. In the 24th verse, you remember he's given us great and exceeding precious promises. 24th verse, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. You know what that's for me individually? He is able to keep me from falling this year and the rest of my life. You know what? It doesn't mean falling into sin so much. For us, we desire to make heaven our home. But there's other things that the devil would like to trip us up on with the things that are crowding around us. Talks about through unbelief. I want to believe that those promises are just as real today for me. That he is able to keep me from falling. He is able to present me faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And I'm very thankful for that. Another one is in 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know, they made a song using this verse as the chorus of that song. I know whom I have believed. That's not just maybe it is, maybe it's not. No, I'm convinced of it. That he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. That's my soul. Lord, I've given you that. I want you to direct me and safe to glory bring my soul. And I'm convinced that he is able to do that. God has made an investment, gave his son, so that every one of us would be able to have spiritual success at the end of our journey and every day along the journey to be able to have it. There's another verse over in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Six and 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. See, that's God's investment for our spiritual success. We have been bought with a price. And you know what? I want to go along through life realizing the price that was paid for me to be able to be saved. I don't want to know, okay, if I follow these instructions, these rules, I'll be able to live a pretty good life. The man that prayed and said, I fast twice in the week. I give of all I possess. I'm thankful that I'm not like this other man. Says the other man was the one that went home justified. I don't want to let works be what saves me. It cannot be works. Works will come as a result of the blood of Christ in my life. I want to always remember I've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have a song, number 99. I'd like for us to sing that together. My body is the temple of God. I want it to be able to reflect His glory. Not in the temples made with hands, though beautiful by art, but God in mercy condescends to dwell within my heart. Oh, glory to Jesus, so sweet in me. My body, thy temple, shall forever be. How wonderful that He would take this poor abode of sin and wash me in His precious blood and now abide within. Oh, glory to Jesus, so sweet in me. My body, thy temple, shall forever be. No more I think of God afar, but see thee, Lord, within. O shine in me, thou morning star, and keep thy temple clean. O glory to Jesus, so sweet in me. My body, thy temple, shall forever be. O Lord, enshrined within my breast, my constant joy and peace, my soul can now forever rest secure in thy embrace. Oh, glory to Jesus, so sweet in me. My body, thy temple, shall forever be. And you know, I want Him to be pleased to dwell in this temple. There's a verse over in Psalms 138 and 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. You know what? He's got an investment in me, in all humans, but also in me. And His desire is to perfect those things that concern me. It says, Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Lord, the work that you have put into me up until now, I need you to continue working with me that I'll be able to make heaven my home at the end. And not just make heaven my home, but to be able to be an inspiration to those around me. You know, we're living in troubled times. People all around us are feeling the trouble. But may they be able to see in me a peace. Jesus said He'd give it to us. Said He'd give us a peace that passes understanding. He said, the peace I want to give you is not the kind that the world will give. And I want that peace. You know, as the world gets more troubled around us, that peace is going to shine brighter to those around us. And I want to be able to be that example. The Lord will, this is another promise, He will perfect that which concerneth me. So He will perfect it. You know, sometimes my vehicle might need a tune-up. sometimes it might need just a fine tune, just a little adjustment will make it run better. You know, sometimes a vehicle needs a complete overhaul.
Yes.
God knows what it needs, and he will perfect that which concerneth me. I was looking at some examples in the Bible of the investment that God had made in an individual and how much he was willing to work with them. Over in 1 Kings, in the 19th chapter, if we could say somebody that really walked close to God, it would be in this chapter right here. It looks like Elijah, he had a real close relationship with God. On Mount Carmel, when he's able to tell them, bring some more barrels of water and pour on this sacrifice, and then just a little simple prayer, and God sent down fire, you would think that there would be nothing that would trouble him out in the future. He would know that God is right here with me all the time. You know, he was a human like we are, and so quick to forget what God did yesterday. That's probably why they said we need to have this Ebenezer stone back there, to where Samuel, I want you to be able to remember, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. You know, if Elijah would have been able to say, the Lord's helped me in the past, and it's true here in the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, it's true, Jezebel has made a warning to him. Let my life be taken if your life is not taken by tomorrow about this time. And when he took that, he took off running. And it says he went a day's journey and he left his servant. You know, his servant had probably been there. Well, his servant had been. Because remember, his servant was the one that he sent to go look out over the ocean or whatever and came back several times. No, there's nothing. Then his servant comes back and says, you know, I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, tell everybody, get down off the mountain. There's rain coming. The servant saw that kind of faith in Elijah. And now he sees Elijah running.
Yes.
And Elijah's saying, I'm going to have to drop you off here. Take care of yourself because I'm running farther. You know, we can come into places where we have a huge victory yesterday.
Yes.
And now something else comes to us. Did God say, Elijah, I tell you what, I'm through with you. I just helped you out in a big way yesterday and you're wondering what your life holds now. He didn't do that. Instead, he had an angel to come and minister to Elijah. And he wants to do those same things with us today. You know, it came to a point that Elijah made a request. Tell you what, I'm the only one that's living for you. I'd like for you to just go ahead and take my life. I'd like to go ahead and die too. You know, we don't die just because we would like to get out of troubles. He didn't. There was somebody else in the Bible that requested that he would die. You remember who that was? Jonah. You know, Jonah, things had not gone the direction that he had expected. And he's requesting, I just wish that I could die. Better for me to die and not live. There's times that the material that God has invested in, it needs some working done to it. The children have a song that they sing sometimes. He's still working on me. You know what? That's not just for 8-year-olds. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Says it took him just a week to make the earth and the stars, the sun and the moon and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. You know what? He was still working on Elijah. After the close walk that he had with him there, he reminded him in the 19th chapter, your vision is very small right here, Elijah, because I want to tell you, I've got 7,000 other people that have not bowed to Baal. You know, Elijah wasn't able to see that. His vision had kind of closed in. It's all about me right now and the trouble that I'm in. And the Lord reminded him, you know what? I've got 7,000 people that are still living for me. There was another one that God had invested in and was not willing to just turn him loose. And that we find that over in Luke, the 22nd chapter. You know, sometimes I can be very confident about where I'm standing with the Lord. I think it's real important for me to constantly pray the prayer of Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God. This morning in the Sunday school was that verse that said, He knows the thoughts and the intents of my heart. You know, He knows me better than I know myself. I feel like I know who I am and I know where I stand before the Lord. But He knows if this continues here and is not checked, it can turn into this out in the future. So I want you to search me, O God, my thoughts, my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. And you know, I'd say right now, there's no wicked way in me. Could something that I'm doing or entertaining in my thoughts lead to some place that I drift some from the Lord? Lead me in the way everlasting. Peter, in this 22 and 31, you know, Jesus says to Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, I have to ask whenever I'm looking at a verse like this, has the Lord ever tried to come to me and say, Dan, there's an area here that you really need to strengthen this area because it has danger attached to it? And I could say in myself, I'd never say it to the Lord, but I could do my own searching. What is it? Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord's the one that's doing the real checking. So I want to go to him and ask him, because here, what would the story have been different if Simon Peter would have, when these two verses were said to him, if he would have said, Lord, in my heart, I do not believe that can happen. I believe I would die for you. But Lord, I've been watching you over these past 3 years. I have watched you tell people what was inside their heart. Lord, you see something that I don't see. Would you please help me with it right now? What a difference that story could have made. But you know, I can go, I can have where I stand before the Lord. And you know what? The Lord allowed this to go ahead and continue on because Peter said, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus says, I tell you, Peter, the cocks won't crow this day before you've denied me thrice. You know, Jesus could have said, okay, it's over. I have nothing more to do with Peter. But he didn't say that. You know what? He had an investment in Peter. He really knew what Peter's heart was. He wanted some things to bubble to the top that Peter could work with it. Because I find over in Mark in the 16th chapter, after Jesus has risen, he said this, go your way, tell the disciples and Peter. Make sure Peter has got a special invitation. I want him to be able to come and meet me. And I am thankful for that. Because you know what? The Lord's got the same kind of investment in us today, each one individually, that he wants to work with us. There are exceeding great and precious promises that he has for each one of us to be able to make it through this life. There was another one, David. You know, Samuel said to Saul, the Lord hath sought for a man after his own heart. We use that verse and say David was a man after God's own heart. That's true. You know what he was as he continued to follow the Lord? Yes. That's not just a blanket stamp that David was always approved of the Lord. You know, I believe if David had not repented of his sin, the Lord would have been seeking for another man after his own heart. I believe Solomon was a man after God's own heart. Remember where Solomon, when the Lord came to him and said, you just ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. Solomon said, I'm just a child. I don't know how to govern these people. Would you please give me an understanding heart? You know, I think the Lord at that time knew what Solomon's heart was anyhow. And he said, I won't give you just that. I'll give you all these other things. But you know, keep thy heart. Solomon was the one that told his son, keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are going to come some issues of life. And Solomon failed to keep his heart with all diligence. But I was thinking about with David, when Nathan the prophet came to him and revealed to him, opened up what had been done, and David did not recognize it at first. He thought it's just a story that was being told of him, to him about a man with one sheep, another man that had many sheep. The one with many had a visitor, and he went and killed the one that the poor man had. David just gets all worked up. It's amazing that David didn't realize, you know what, this is a prophet. I need to be real, real careful about what he's saying and understand what's his message, because he would have been able to see from the beginning, here's what's happening. But I look at that when Nathan revealed it to him, and David, I believe from the heart, said, I have sinned. The reason I can tell from the heart that he said, I have sinned, because we get to read his prayer. In Psalms 51, when David comes back with a prayer, and he says, create in me a clean heart.
Yes.
And God did that for David. And he will do that for every one of us. It doesn't mean that we're going into sin, but we can have some places in our life to where the Lord wants to do a fine tune for us that would help us out. David, I believe, finished his life with success. Solomon had the same opportunity to end his life with success. But Sister Maxine mentioned in the message this morning, this is a two-way street right here. God's desiring to do his part. He's got exceeding great and precious promises for us. He wants to do his part, but I've got a part to play also. Yeah. Solomon, when he built the temple and he dedicated it to the Lord, we see where he's telling God, there's none like you. You know, something happened within just a few years of Solomon's life, because then he started building temples for other gods, for his other wives. And not only building them, but going with them for the worship. What happened in a few years' time? You know, when I look at Solomon, God put some effort into Solomon. Remember when the Queen of Sheba came to visit? She came in that time when he was walking close to God. She went away from there saying, your servants are happy. I watch how you go up to worship the Lord. I imagine she saw a deep respect from Solomon as he approached his worship to God. And the next chapter, just shortly after that, is when we find he falls. There's a warning for me, for us. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Do I go around for the rest of my life always afraid I'm going to fall? No. What I do is just realize, you know what, there is that risk. I need thee every hour. Not just your help in decisions I'm making, but I need you to be able to show me, Lord, what is out ahead for me. I want to be able to hear that voice behind me, real, real close to me where I can hear it. That when I'm about to make a decision to turn to the left or to the right, thinking in my mind, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, thinking in my mind, this is the right direction to go. I would be very thankful if I could hear that still small voice, then this is the way, walk ye in it. I want to be able to know that. There's another one. Saul. You know, God made an investment into Saul. He could have caused him to die. I'm on my journey to take out some people that are living for the Lord, but instead he pays him a visit on the way to Damascus, and he asks him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know, Saul had a direction that he could take, and he said, Lord, who are you? And when the Lord revealed himself to him, Saul, to become Paul, made a change. Now, I thought about when Ananias, you remember when the Lord, that's amazing the contact these people had with God. Ananias is at his house. He must have had some kind of information that Saul is coming and the trouble that it could cause. And when God speaks to Ananias and he said, I want you to go down, there's a man named Saul and he's praying. And when he recognized who that was, he said, Lord, we have all heard of this man. He's coming down here to do injury to these people. And the Lord, what does he say to him? Go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me. I'm going to put some more effort into him because I see some material that's going to work. What is that song? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. When he came into his heart, what a change it made for him. Because you know, it almost talks like immediately after that change was made, he began preaching Jesus. What a change it had made. You know, it looks like he would have been fearful. I'm down here. I just brought people here to help me take these back prisoner. And now I'm going to tell them I believe in Jesus myself.
Yes.
You know, some of his greatest enemies were the Jews. And probably because he was going in the direction with them and then turned completely the other way, God was able to do that for him. But I look at a verse over in 1 Timothy. It talks about, I did those things, but I did them ignorantly. I didn't really realize just what I was doing. I thought I was doing God's service. And when he showed me, I turned about. I want to be able to have a soft heart to where when he shows me anything about myself, I can turn around, be able to make any adjustments that are needed. Because it goes on down in Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter and the 13th verse. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, sometimes part of this is he's got great and precious promises, but I'm going to have to forget some things that are behind me. The devil would like to bring up, yeah, but do you remember the unbelief you had back here or something that you didn't do right back here? If he would just give all the truth, he would know that it's been forgiven. How was Paul able to go minister to these places that maybe there's a wife and children that the husband is dead because of Paul? It says he had them put to death, had some people put to death. Could it have been that some of those places where he went to minister, those kind of things could have happened? But you know, for him to be spiritually successful, he had to do this. Forgetting those things which are behind and looking to those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now there is another verse here. Sister Maxine has mentioned this verse in the past, and it is very special. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So I want to be able to have this mind that Paul had. I have a desire to perfect my life. So have this desire that he had of forgetting the things behind, reaching those things that are before. And if we want to be perfect, have this mind. And if anything, in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. You know, this is an important verse for us to be able to take to the devil when he comes to us. He would like to just cloud the water. To where I don't know, do I have anything definite that I need to change before the Lord? This one says, if I don't know, I can realize this. He is going to reveal it to me should I need it to happen. And I am very thankful for that. There is one more that I want us to look at. Because spiritual success is going to end, it ended with Paul with this testimony in 2 Timothy. The fourth chapter and the sixth verse. I am now ready to be offered.
Yes.
And the time of my departure is at hand. I wonder what he knew. I read some of the commentaries and it said news must have come to him that after all this time of treating you good in the prison and letting people come and visit you, your time is coming to an end. They're about to take your life. Did he become all nervous and afraid? No. What did he say? Now I'm now ready to be offered. Maybe the news had already come to him. It's almost here. The time of my departure is at hand. Now he's looking back over the past. Remember those other places he said, forget those things that are in the past.
Yes.
Now he can look at the past and this is what he sees. I have fought a good fight.
Yes.
I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And now I'm looking out ahead. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all those that love his appearing. You know, I was able to, and I've told you this already, I was able to give these verses to Cheryl.
Yes.
as she was breathing her last. And you know what? This thing is not just special for her. This is what's available for every one of us as we're breathing our last, that we could have fought a good fight. The Lord has a desire that we have success. And He will send us some things to us, and maybe us to some things, to where at the last of it, He wants us to be able to say, not just in my own power. You know, it says, not he that commendeth himself is approved, but is whom the Lord commendeth. And we want the Lord to be able to do the commending. But as I could say to her, you fought a good fight. You finished. His desire is for us to have spiritual success. Amen. And you know what? That success ends when I breathe. It doesn't end. It really has just begun. But it's just a little transition moving from here to there. And I was able to realize more at that time than ever. It says, oh, death, where is your sting? Death is swallowed up in victory. We are only when we have had spiritual success in our life, not because of us, but because of the Lord's dealings in my life. Spiritual success, Tori, when I breathe my last breath, yes. If I could only realize, you know what, I'm just one step away from that goal that I've had all my life. And I could just see it in my mind, just as she, what does it say? Their light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. Those, it just merged together so smooth, just stepping from this place to heaven. The Lord desires every one of us to have spiritual success. The devil's going to be set against us, but I think of the verse that was used this morning. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I am thankful for that. And I want us to go away from here and in the weeks out ahead, the things that can happen in our life, to realize how much God values me having spiritual success. Remember the verse that says, my son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He wants me to have spiritual success, and how that comes about is for me to recognize changes that I need to make. And you know, a lot of those changes, if he realizes that I need patience, is he just going to pour it in one night and I wake up with it? A lot of times he's going to allow something to happen that I realize I'm short on it, and I go back to him to ask him to fill that place for me. I want to make heaven my home. I want to be able to say at the end of my life with confidence, I fought a good fight. Finished the course. There's a crown laid up for me, and there's a crown laid up for everyone else. Want to make heaven my home. I desire your prayers.